Hello, this is Robert Smigel with Europe's podcast, where we talk to the entrepreneurs who are making it happen here in the UK. Now, get ready for an inspiring conversation with Jim James. Jim jumped out of an airplane at the age of 17 and hasn't looked back or down ever since. That leap of faith earned him more money in 98 seconds than he could have made working for months for someone else. He was hooked on the power of publicity to create profits. Over 25 years, he's lived and built businesses in Singapore, China, India, and now back in the UK. Having divested his Asian businesses, he's now a podcast host, three-time published author, and business consultant. The Unnoticed Entrepreneur brand has the mission to help founders and to give them the tools they need to get recognized and, well, they deserve. Jim, welcome to Europe's podcast. I appreciate you taking the time to share your entrepreneurial journey with all our listeners.
Robert, thank you so much. And congratulations on building out Europe's podcast. What a great concept.
Yeah,
So, as an
I'm
entrepreneur to entrepreneur, yeah,
really
well done.
excited. A lot of the success with Canada's podcast, and I wanted to bring that to Europe and see if we could build something just as great. So that's our mission.
I'm sure you will.
Okay, we got a taste of a little bit of your background. Why don't you just kind of elaborate a little bit more about the Unnoticed Entrepreneurial brand and what that looks like for you?
Yeah, so as you said kindly before, the Unnoticed Entrepreneur really is all about helping entrepreneurs to get noticed for free so that they can really get the recognition that they deserve, Robert. I spent many, many years building up an international PR firm, helping large companies, and really wanted to help entrepreneurs to learn from other entrepreneurs ways that they can get noticed for free because they don't have the big budgets that big companies have. So that's really the mission, to use podcasts and books. And now I have a digital twin as well, Robert, which entrepreneurs can use to ask questions of all of my guests and all of my books and get personalized responses. So that's the mission, to help entrepreneurs like you and me to get noticed for free.
Awesome. Okay. I want you to give me one piece of knowledge or information about your industry, whether it's podcasting or publishing, that you can share with or that would benefit our listeners from the common person's perspective. Can you share with them that if you were talking to someone that doesn't really know about your industry, can you sh share with them some tidbits of that might help them?
Sure, but let's say that the industry right now that I'm involved with really is podcasting. Okay, so let's look at that as the industry. I think really the first thing that people might want to think about with podcasting is that it's really every man's medium, right? There's no barrier to entry, there's no particular cost involved, and you get to speak in your voice to people that might be interested in your story. So the first thing is there's no barrier to entry because it really is a low cost and easy to gain sort of way to talk to people. The second piece of like experience or wisdom is to be a guest first, Robert. There are a lot of people selling courses and selling the dream of become a podcaster, build a brand. But actually, you'd date someone before you got married, you're trying to rent a house before you bought it, You really want to experiment and learn how to be a podcast guest before you try and become a host. So see it like a journey, really, of building your skills and your networks, and start by learning from other people that are already doing it. So that would be the thing I would say about podcasting, that it's a great, great platform, but you need to learn how to use it properly.
Okay. Now you've had businesses all over the world, obviously in Asia, at one of the center points. What are the biggest benefits for you being an entrepreneur in the UK? I want you to give me some of the good points about operating there. I know you're just outside of London, but what are some of the challenges you've encountered being in the UK as well? So give me the good things and kind of the challenges you've had along the way.
Okay, so I spent 25 years building businesses in Singapore, China, and India. So one of the great things about being back in the UK is that I can understand what everybody's saying, right? So in China, I did learn some Mandarin, but a lot of conversations in a lot of meetings, I'd have to wait until I got a translation of what was being said. So immediacy, really, Robert, is one of the main benefits. I can actually tell immediately what's going on. Second is, although I've lived overseas, I'm British, so I do understand some of the more sort of cultural traits that, people are talking about, and some of the dimensions and the trends that are taking place in the UK and Europe in general. So much more sort of at home in that sense. And I think the third dimension is about being at home is I'm in and around the people that I care about. And so I can focus on the business when I'm in the business and then focus on the people that I care about on the weekends. Whereas as an expatriate, you know, your family, your friends were not always there. And so you'd spend a lot of time, you know, on a plane or on the phone trying to be in touch with people. What's harder about being in the UK is competition. You know, that in Asia, for example, in China, I was one of the only people that operated a PR firm in China. I was the only person that imported British sports cars to China. You know, I was able to start the British Business Awards because it didn't exist. So in Asia, I had, you know, some being unique just because I was different. And I was also able to see opportunities that in the UK were well, well exploited, but in Asia were still up and coming. Back in the UK, I'm another middle-aged white guy with some skills. And that means that differentiation becomes a bigger challenge, if you like, Robert. So I think that's probably the hardest thing is the competition in the UK is so much more intense because there are so many amazing entrepreneurs in the UK that have also been here for the last 25 years. So I don't have the same kind of network that I would have had if I'd continued to live and work here in Europe.
Okay. Now you've talked to a lot of entrepreneurs, you've coached, mentored a lot of entrepreneurs. How do you define success and what does success look like for you? Or how would you mentor someone into saying what success looks like?
Well, I think in a way, your question has the clue there, Robert, which is you'd ask people what success looks like because success to one person isn't necessarily the same to another person. And in fact, what my experience is that success for me as a 27-year-old when I went to Singapore to start a company was quite different to me as a 57-year-old coming back to the UK to start a company. So success is not, if you like, one objective reality, right? It's a subjective kind of moving reality. So when I coach people about success, it depends on what stage of life they're at, what their priorities are. And that's beautiful because that means we're not all competing for the same thing. As an entrepreneur, I suppose one of the great definitions of success for me is that I'm able to serve clients that I'd like to serve, doing the work that I feel I'm best at and on my own terms. You know, ultimately as an entrepreneur, we take risks because then we can have the time that we want for the things that are important for us. So for me now, as a father of two amazing daughters, success for me is that I can take them both to school every day and I can be at home when they get home and teach my younger daughter, you know, to do her work and help my older daughter to learn to drive, for example. So success has changed. Success has changed. When I was 27, success was going water skiing in Indonesia on the weekend. Right. So I suppose success ultimately is the ability to decide what you want to do with who you want to do it with, when you want to do it.
Okay. So you touched on something, risk, and we talked about challenges. Is how do you deal with fear and doubt as you maybe as you were starting out and talking to other entrepreneurs? And how would you coach someone through that? If someone, you know, the rocky road of being an entrepreneur, how do you manage that?
Yeah. And that's such a challenge. And I think that when people have jobs, they look at entrepreneurs and think that it's all glamorous and sort of getting rich or not. But what they're not necessarily understanding is the emotional impact and the physical impact of self-doubt and fear, right? So with self-doubt, a big part of that is about trying to get objectivity about what you actually have accomplished and what skills you've accomplished and what sort of results you've accomplished. So self-doubt for me has come where I have maybe tried to accomplish more than I'm really prepared for. And so I've created this stretch between what I'm trying to get and what I'm really capable of doing. And self-doubt to some degree is part of your ego saying, hey, I'm not really sure we're prepared for that. A bit like when you go to run a marathon, you say, I'm going to do a 4-hour marathon, which I did that in Singapore, a sub 4-hour marathon. The self-doubt crept in after a couple of weeks of going, if I don't do more training, I'm really never going to make it, right? So self-doubt can be accomplished, I think, or overcome by being practical and writing down what you're really going to need to do and the self-discipline that you're going to need to accomplish the task you set yourself. Fear is slightly different because fear is an anxiety about the outcomes of what may happen if you don't accomplish some of those goals. You know, fear for me and for many of us is poverty. It may be embarrassment. Maybe it's letting other people down. And so what I try and do with fear is I try and recenter on why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I try and get honest with myself about how much of it is authentic, how much of what I'm trying to do is really going to matter to the people that I care about. And then the fear dissipates a little bit, I think, Robert, because actually, if you're doing things for the right reason, then there's really no reason to be afraid of the outcome because you had integrity while you were doing it. And I think the biggest fear is that you don't push yourself, you know? And so for me, dealing with fear is about asking myself why I'm doing it. And if I'm doing something for the right reasons, then I have to believe that I may have some short-term failures, but long-term, I'll have success.
Okay. Speaking of the long-term, where do you see your business in 5 years? Where do you want to go? I mean, are you happy where you are now? Do you see yourself? You've published books, you've got the podcast. Is there any other areas that you'd like to expand into, other countries, or what's that look like for you on a global perspective?
So the Unnoticed Entrepreneur podcast now is really on a mission to serve those entrepreneurs that need to get that information about how to get noticed for free and really to get entrepreneurs to share it with each other, right? So absolutely, that is still the mission. I want to get the show into the top 1% of podcasts, is in top 2% now. And I want it to be monetized so that it's enabling me to, if you like, validate the concept, because ultimately as an entrepreneur, the market tells you whether you've got a good idea or not. And then to be able to serve people through my digital twin. So I have an AI, you know, digital twin, and to be able to give not just the conversations, but actually the interaction that comes from the digital twin that I've installed on my platform. So the ability then to reach out and also then in multiple languages, because the digital twin actually can deliver my wisdom and that of the people I interview in any language. So same purpose, but to get better and to get deeper and more interactive and more engagement with entrepreneurs. That's the plan.
What does this digital twin look like, this AI twin of yours, and how do you implement that? What's that look like?
So I call it Gym 2. It's my digital twin, and I've trained it on all of my content, podcasts, books, courses, coaching materials. And people can come to my website, jimajames.com, and they can type in questions, or they can actually phone me. And I've trained it as well with my voice. And I've trained it on my personality and the kind of questions that I might be asked and the kind of responses that I'd like it to have, Robert. So it is really trying to have some of the characteristics of me, but at scale, and obviously 24/7. So it's at jimajames.com. It's free to use because that's part of the mission. And really the early results from people that have tried it is that it's really impactful because it remembers the conversation if they log in with their email. It remembers the conversation and it's delivering personalized responses at scale. So that's what the future holds, I think, is the ability to be there for everybody in real time, but as close to me and how I'd respond as possible.
Okay, cool. As an entrepreneur, we have to be persistent, aggressive. We have to work very hard, lots of long hours. What two words would you use to describe yourself? And has that changed over the years? Maybe when you're younger, you're a bit more aggressive, persistent, and worked all the time. Now you're a little bit more relaxed. But how did you kind of balance that? And what would you, if you're talking to another entrepreneur, how do you find that middle ground?
You know, that's such a great question about, what keeps us going. I think probably ambition is the common thread. I was ambitious when I was young and I'm ambitious now. When I was 27 and went to Singapore, I was ambitious and overeager. And now I am ambitious, but more measured. And I think that if you're not ambitious throughout your life, then you probably fall away in terms of your work rate and your ambition and your vision. But it's easy to burn out, Robert, as I'm sure you know, and many people listening to the show know, that it's easy as an entrepreneur to get overambitious and overzealous and to push yourself beyond your physical limits. And, I've been there, learned that lesson. So now I'm ambitious to grow and serve more people, but I'm trying to do it at a pace that both the business can withstand and also that I can withstand at my age. And it also gives me the time to enjoy the journey more, because I kind of didn't see a lot of what was happening in those early years. And now I'm enjoying life a lot more, because as I'm older, I've got a family to enjoy. That's a key part of success.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you've probably mentored a lot of people, or maybe when you were younger, you had some mentors. Is there any advice that you received from someone else, an entrepreneur, that you could pass on to other entrepreneurs? So it's something that, you've met other entrepreneurs and something struck you that you said, wow, that's really good advice. And I'd like to relay.
Yeah. And this, Robert, and this is some advice that I ignored at, and paid the price for. A long time ago, when I had my PR firm, I started an internet business, and my accountant, who had his own business, said, it's better to run one company well than two companies run badly. So it's better to run one company well than two companies run badly. And I have tried to prove that to be wrong on several occasions. And each time I've realized I need to do one business really, really well, because the devil's in the details. And so that's been one piece of advice that stayed with me for 25 years.
Now, you're not a big multitasker. Does that include multitasking, or is that just focusing on one particular, like PR compared to, say, selling automobiles?
Well, we know that multitasking is also dangerous, don't we? That actually the brain can really only focus on one task at a time. So we do need to try and do one thing at a time. But from a business point of view, it's about being known for one service or one product, having your brand identified for one thing, and also making sure that all the qualities that make a great company are there. And so really, when it comes to focusing, it is focusing on one company, which is why now I just focus on the Unnoticed Entrepreneur.
Okay. And that's where you're going to, that's your long-term vision, just to focus on that at this point in all aspects.
I think so, Robert, because I've learned that lesson. And also now I'd like some work-life balance. And I want to just focus on building out one really great company rather than two okay companies.
Great. Okay, we're going to wrap things up. How can our listeners get hold of you? And is there anything you'd like to add before you leave us today? Anything we've missed out? Anything you want to share?
Well, first of all, please come to my website, jimajames.com. On there, you will find a couple of things. One is my digital twin, so you can ask me questions and have some fun there. There is also a little icon for a gift, a little package good. And if you click on that icon, it'll take you to a page, and it'll give you a free download to a podcast guest checklist. So I've created a checklist for anyone that's going to be a guest on podcasts, and it's my free gift to any of your listeners, Robert.
Awesome. Some great gifts there, some freebies that people can learn from and speak to your twin. I think I'm going to have to try that out.
Please do. I mean, I think one person, my wife, said that it was smarter than me. So there you go. That's got to be good.
So now you've got a competitor.
I know. So do come and try the digital twin. It's new technology, and it's pretty exciting, I think, what it's able to do. And I think it's also a great example of how we can scale our businesses without spending more time on them.
Awesome. Okay. Jim, thanks for coming on the show. I've learned a lot about you, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. We'll see you next time.
Robert, thank you. And congratulations once again on Europe's podcast.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.